China defends its record.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. 5 years ago, China joined the World Trade Organization. It is celebrating that anniversary by defending its performance as a WTO member. China's official newspaper said the country has been an important contributor to the growth of the global economy. However, the Financial Times reports U.S. officials believe the record is profoundly mixed. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson has said the Chinese need to move more quickly on economic reforms. He's leading a delegation of officials to China to discuss a variety of issues. As Marketplace's Hillary Riquet reports, the makeup of that delegation, which arrives this week, is meant to show that the U.S. means business.
Paulson will travel with four other members of President Bush's cabinet, as well as two U.S. trade representatives and Federal Reserve Chief Ben Bernanke. Bates Gill is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
Short of a delegation led by an American president, there probably has never been a delegation quite like this.
But Gill says that's the point, to impress on China how important the U.S. views righting their economic relationship. Gill says with the upcoming power shift on Capitol Hill, the message will be clear.
The officials traveling over to China are going to sort of play a good cop, bad cop, and say, you know, if you don't deal with us, the administration, on some of these problems like cracking down on intellectual property rights violations, doing something about the trade imbalance, well, then you're going to have to deal with the Democratic Congress.
America's trade deficit with China is on track to surpass last year's record $202 billion. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
The Anglo-Dutch energy company Shell has caved in to pressure from the Kremlin. It's offered to give up control of a giant oil and gas project in Russia. That word from the Reuters news agency this morning. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The Sakhalin 2 natural gas project on the Russian Pacific island of Sakhalin is the biggest of its kind. It's costing $22 billion to develop. But for a long time, it's rankled with the Kremlin that no Russian companies are involved, let alone in control. Shell has 55%. Now, according to Reuters, they've agreed to sell a large chunk of that share to the Russians, putting the state-owned Gazprom in the driving seat. This follows months of pressure from the Kremlin, or bullying, says Nick Redman of the Economist Intelligence Unit.
I think we can call it bullying, and it certainly looks like it's worked. A great deal of pressure has been applied on an incumbent foreign investor in order to come to terms, in order to allow a Russian company to step in.
But the Kremlin claims that Shell has broken environmental laws and that cost overruns on the project would deprive the Russian treasury of royalties for many years to come. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Right now, American commercial and cargo pilots must retire at age 60. Some foreign countries have raised the age to 65. Now there's word the Federal Aviation Administration wants to do the same. The Wall Street Journal reports the FAA is working on the change and trying to see if the new Congress is ready to go along. The journal also cites projections that more than 30,000 pilots will turn 60 in the next decade. Today, the market may not see much action as everyone waits for the Federal Reserve meeting tomorrow. But on Friday, the market ended the week on an up note. The Dow added 29 points to 12,307. The Nasdaq rose 9 points to 2437. And the S&P inched up 2 points. This is Marketplace. It's almost winter, but two seed companies are looking ahead to next year and attracting farmers with their new biotech products. From the Marketplace Innovations Desk at North Carolina Public Radio, Janet Babin has more.
The two companies are Pioneer and Monsanto. Both develop seeds with genetic traits that are resistant to insects or disease. Competition between the two companies has grown this year as biotech crops gain in popularity worldwide. Dr. Marshall Martin runs Purdue University's Agricultural Research Program. He says Monsanto may have a slight edge in one area.
Monsanto probably has a little bit longer track record in terms of the biotechnology discovery and applied research.
But Pioneer is developing its own technology to create new biotech seeds. Martin says the real shakeup over the next few years will be at small to mid-sized seed companies. Monsanto and Pioneer's dominance could force them to sell or go out of business altogether. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Children's Heart Foundation's It's My Heart, a book for families affected by heart defects. Copies at childrensheartfoundation.org. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation. furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. It's the holiday season, so maybe you're feeling a desire to be generous, or perhaps you're just looking for a last-minute tax write-off. Whatever the reason, the chances are that sometime over the next few weeks, you'll give money to a good cause. Well, if you do, be warned. 'Tis the season for scams and people who will try and take advantage of your generosity. Alex Cohen says the unscrupulous will exploit any situation.
Con artists love natural disasters. Sal Hernandez of the FBI's Criminal Investigation Division says there's nothing like a major tragedy to bring out the big donations.
It's much easier if you have a large segment of a population at risk of loss or that is already lost in some way to make that appeal to the public. The appeal is to the public's generosity.
People feel even more generous during the holiday season, which is why so many phony charities popped up following the Southeast Asian tsunami at the end of 2004 and Hurricanes Katrina and Rita last year. Knock wood, this year hasn't seen a disaster of such proportions, which may be why some people are looking to capitalize on last year's tragedies again. Mark Sox directs the Internet Storm Center, which patrols the net for potential frauds. In recent weeks, he says they've been scouring the web for new sites with addresses including words such as charity, donate, and relief.
Just in the last 24 hours, there's been 10 more websites registered with the name Katrina or Hurricane Katrina inside the domain name. This is well over a year after that's passed.
Sox says these new websites may or may not prove to be fake charities. Oftentimes, it's hard to tell at first glance. Clever scammers go to great lengths, such as copying the graphics from the websites of legitimate charities to lure donors. That's because they can profit significantly from getting people to give online.
In the virtual world, you are giving up information about your credit card, about your online banking accounts, or other things that the fraudsters can then use to take even more money from you than what you had originally donated.
If you'd like to give this season without getting duped, there are steps you can take. For example, the Better Business Bureau offers an online guide to legitimate national charities. If you get a phone call asking for donations, take as much time as you need to investigate. If they're truly a charity, they'll be just as happy to take your money next week as they will today. And, says the FBI's Sal Hernandez, watch out for what he calls soundalikes.
Sometimes those that are involved will simply change a part of the name to give the charity that they're working with, supposedly working with, an air of legitimacy.
For instance, it's the American Cancer Society, not the American Cancer Association, and it's the American Lung Association, not the American Lung Society. I'm Alex Cohen for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
All right, it's just a metaphor, but it works.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.